Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So I thought we'd talk about female beauty, which it's not a usual thing for this channel. Not a beauty channel, I would have thought.
Well, we are a channel that's concerned with aesthetics.
Sure, that's true. And one of the things I ran across is a lady who's written a big old article about what is female beauty and actually going through the details. And she doesn't hold any punches, to say the least. Like, she's getting straight to the meat of, if you actually want to look beautiful to men, here's the answers. And if you don't fit that, we'll cry about it.
Okay.
And so I love a bit of a rough, straight talking facts. So I thought we'd enjoy. But let's start off just here with a video, of course, being analyzing what is a woman with you and Harry. Because, of course, if you don't know what a woman is, kind of useful for this one. Otherwise, none of this is going to make any kind of sense.
Matt Walsh did a good job exposing the leftists, but we just go through what it is they actually mean in their replies.
Yeah,
it's a good video.
This is one of the many, I suppose you could chalk it up as a beauty lie from the left. Like, you can be a beautiful woman and have a beard. And no. And she lists a whole bunch of other things that you sort of need to be beautiful, at least if you actually want to find out what female beauty is. Mm-hmm. And the way she did this in her article, she states, is she looked at some other research that has been done. The funniest one is when you survey women how many sexual partners they've had and then tell them whether or not someone's going to be checking their answers. If you tell them someone's checking them, women will say roughly about 2.2 partners.
Really?
If you tell them that no one will check the answers, 4.4 it jumps up to, which...
Just saying.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's huge problems there with getting accuracy from people. So instead, she went right to the source, and she decided, okay, well, who am I going to ask for what is female beauty? I'm going to ask men, and I'm going to ask men in settings in which they have no reason to lie.
Yep.
So she looked at a few very good pointers, one of them being sex dolls, of all places. But the reason you do that is because you're looking for male preferences in the female body are completely private. They have no need to lie, and they're looking for what they want.
And also, they can't be called prejudiced because of things like personality and charisma.
Yes, that's not something that's interesting in female beauty.
Well, I mean, sex dolls presumably don't have it.
No, they don't. But again, if you're looking for beauty, that's one thing. Yeah. You know, relationships is where the personality and whatnot comes in.
Yeah.
But we'll start off here just with one of the most obvious ones. And a lot of them you may be thinking are duh obvious, but apparently to a lot of women they're not.
Oh, yeah.
At least from the responses she got. And this is one that just really made me laugh. It's just, quote, "How dare you neglect to critically examine the political implications of your offensively misogynistic taste for long hair? The professor of some class you're required to take, but would definitely be better off skipping." Mm-hmm. And this was one of the points in there. She found out that, men like long hair.
Yeah.
Short hair, not useful. A very small minority of men like short hair. And
Just think of every classic beauty you can think of, and it's long flowing hair.
Yeah.
Because it's an indicator of health and fertility.
There's also some ratings about how long it should be, which we'll get to later. But of course, I should mention as well, before someone says, oh my God, sex dolls. It's not just that. She also looked through male preferences in regards to attractive women in modern life, in magazines, into cartoons.
Just,
places.
Honestly, we talked about this before. Just look at the cover of men's magazines.
Yeah.
Was it Kelly Brook when I was a young man? Kelly Brook was the archetype, right? Well, she is the quintessential hourglass figure.
Kelly.
Right? She has a large bust, she has a narrow waist, and she has wide hips. And she's a pretty girl. So she was always like the archetypal, you know, men's magazine cover model.
She seems to be hitting all the characteristics, and one of them is not being a skinny heroin addict as well, which will become clear, to say the least.
Voluptuous is probably how you describe her.
Yeah. If we go to the next one here, there's something else. So this is her. She put up something about can your waist-to-hip ratio be too extreme? And the answer is no.
I love the sculpture of the old Indian sculpture. Well, she got big boobs, small waist, wide hips.
Yeah, from 100 BC and then some lady on the left here. Yeah. But you can see the dichotomy here, which is that the men, 91% of guys rated hot and 9% said no. Whereas women, far more divided. Only 60% of women said the girl was hot here. Or could guess that she was hot. And it's like, right, okay, you guys don't know what makes you attractive to men.
Nearly half of women thought that's not hot.
Yeah.
Okay, that's weird.
I mean, that's the amazing thing about some of this. Is it's just like, wow, okay, yeah, the women seem to not know a lot of stuff in regards to whether or not they're
what
beautiful.
Men like.
Yeah, and if we go to the next one here, there's also just something I found in response to this. We've spoken about before, but I thought I'd bring it up again because it's also just, I think, relevant. So if you click on the first image here, this was a group of women who decided to rate themselves in order of most to least attractive. And the way they did this...
She thinks she's the most attractive.
She was kind of a bitch.
Well, I'm not even, like, just... I don't know anything about personality. I mean, just from the way she's standing, I could believe it.
Yeah, well, the point wasn't to use personality. It was just because they had to actually rate each other. They had to talk to each other.
Yeah.
And she was quite domineering about the fact that she thought she was attractive and...
Nah. So I would put probably 4, 3, 5, 1, 2.
Right. All right. Well, that's very similar to what the men who did come in the room sort of rated. Not exactly, of course. There are male preferences for such things. And that's the point here, which is that, okay, these group of men who came in rated it this way, and I saw a lot of people arguing their comments about who should be where. Certainly number three I'm not so happy about. But
switch those over at least.
Yeah, and there's obviously male preferences for certain things, and that's something she will find in her research. But it's also obviously true that men can get a lineup. And not do a terrible job, at least nowhere near as bad as the women do, for sure. I also did note that someone did mention, like, the girl at number five there, like, she's the only one who's actually put on a nice dress.
Yeah.
Which is kind of just another point as well. But anyway, let's go to the next one here, because here's the thread on female beauty. Some of this might be a bit lewd, but, I mean, it's about female beauty, so it's kind of the point for that as well. So you can see the images there, some old, you know, probably Indian image again, and then modern-day woman who is attractive. It's like, there you have it. A lot of things in common.
Yeah.
Some things never die. But if we go to the next one here, there's some just the funniest parts she mentions that I think we're going to enjoy. So the first image here is of some like runway models. If you can give a click on that one. There you are.
Can you even imagine calling these attractive women?
Yeah, images displayed prominently by the world's largest clothing retailers.
Ladies, you can look like this. Yeah, but why would you want to?
And this is the point. This is made for a female audience. This is not made for a male audience. But then it's kind of diluted as to if you actually wanted to make beauty.
Oh, this is the same with like Kate Moss back in the 90s, where it was heroin chic, where it was just be as skinny as possible. And like all the women were like, oh my God, look how thin she is. And all the men were like, wow, look at Kelly Brook's massive.
Yeah.
Like nobody cared.
Like it's actually absurdist. But this is made for women's eyes, you could argue, and the retail as well. And that's the point, which is they're not looking for female beauty. But there are a lot of women, apparently, who look at something like this and think that's female beauty or that the runway models are female beauty. And that's something you should emulate. A big no.
It's not.
I don't think I could get a bigger no.
At least not from my man's position.
Yeah, she writes in here, if you go to the next image, she says, the fashion industry uses tall, ultra-thin models to impress and intimidate customers. The tactic increases clothing sales, but these models aren't the best example of beauty. Yeah, no S. Similarly, paid beauty writers and influencers make their money from advertising fashion and beauty products. The conflict of interest discourages them from giving accurate advice.
But what's the incentive here? Because surely making women look more like the sort of ideal that men want for women would be making them more successful with men and therefore would incentivize them to buy your products more rather than trying to make you look like a scarecrow rake crossover.
Yes, if you had the female audience... sort of, let's say, tuned for that. But if you don't have the female audience tuned for that, then you end up with this kind of nonsense.
But how does the incentive become look as unattractive as possible?
So she has some theory about that. Right. I mean, some of it here is definitely that, well, if you're a beauty vlogger or whatnot, and you're getting paid by the industry, are you really going to bring up the fact that these women are not desirable?
I mean, how did they get the money?
But also, you're a woman, so you might not even see it. You may think this is something else. I have seen people say that, as she writes, you know, there's an aspect of intimidation to make it sell. So the low-angle camera, the fact that they're meant to look more classy. But it's like, that's not desirable, though. I mean, if you've got some weird world in which you think that's desirable because they look more classy or something, hard disagree from the entire male sex, to say the least.
Wouldn't even look twice.
Like, no. But then she has the fatso look, of course, which is a whole other conversation, which, you know, in our sphere has been ridiculed for being body positivity that they argue it is.
Just look at the face on the billboard. Can you imagine having that looming over you as you go to work every day?
Yeah, it's just delusional. But we're not the only ones. Many women in the beauty sphere also obviously know that this is bollocks.
Yeah.
And she writes in here, body positive influencers sometimes praise the beauty of unhealthy figures in a way that seems disconnected from reality.
Yeah, really?
They expand their audience through flattery and pandering, not honesty.
Yeah, that's obvious,
yeah. But also journalists lie about beauty to bolster their favorite social and political causes, which they consider far more important than the truth.
At least we're distinguishing between their causes and the truth.
Yes, as well. I love this line. Just the way it's written is fantastic. I Don't know who the author is, or just a Twitter account. I don't know their name, but just put it very well.
Totally
done
true,
there.
Though.
Yeah, 100%. But, I mean, you can argue that all of this, I mean, both of those images, are entirely within the female economy. I mean,
yeah, this
is one of the things that amazed me. I've spoken about it before. A friend of mine said he was in Reading. He went to a Boots, and you know there's like these little counters. Mm. They're different businesses. Like, you've got the Boots store.
Yeah.
And then the cosmetic counter for God knows who. Well, they're different businesses selling their products, making money, and then paying Boots.
Mm-hmm.
So he asked them, well, how much money do you make? And one of them said, oh, I make about $250,000. In, you know, a month.
A month?
Jesus. One counter in one Boots in Reading.
We're in the wrong business.
Yeah, but it's just the madness of these
selling insecurity to women for vast amounts of profit.
Yeah, and they have. I mean, you can also sell them just by pandering to them or lying to them as well, which is much of the industry by, you know, just evidence. So there you have it.
I didn't realize women were such rubes.
100%. Unironically, apparently, there's just an unlimited gold mine out there if you can lie to women. And then that's what, you know, a lot of the incentives are.
The best one is the lie that dovetails with the lie they tell themselves.
Yeah, and this lady didn't have a none of it. So instead, of course, as mentioned, she just went to the men and then found from various sources what's the ideal woman, and it's pretty standard.
Yeah, it's the same, and it always has been the same.
Yeah, so she finds that across culture and time, there's a pretty normal standard here, as she gives you an example of an Indian ancient sculpture and a recent Japanese cartoon.
To be fair, when you get like ancient Greek sculptures, the women's boobs are a bit smaller than that. The waists are a little bit wider than that, but it's still basically the same.
Sure, and you can find the differences sometimes come down to what's acceptable in society, because if you make a painting that you're going to show to the public and have a bow, different cultures aren't going to be so accepting of the ladies having huge knockers.
Practically anything was acceptable in ancient Greece.
Okay. But if we get to the next one here, there's more of this. Yeah. If you click on the left image, I just love it. Why don't men want to look like models? I want women who look like models. And he's just like...
I mean, just leave us a comment. You know, which one, lads, would you be choosing? If three of them approached you in the bar, who are you going for?
One, two, or three? Who on earth is going for number three? I mean, I kind of can see a man looking at one and being like, okay, whatever, but like three, God.
Yeah, but if it's one and two, come on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If we killed number two and you had to pick the other two, though, that's...
Sure, but like it's a dead cert, isn't it?
Yeah, she writes in here, just so the next image. Most men, I love this conclusion. I mean, this is for most men, this is going to be, well, duh. Most men are attracted to women with a small waist, large breasts, and prominent hips. They prefer women who have pronounced curves, but aren't overweight or obese. There is no evidence that they favor the extreme thinness and tall, elongated figure of fashion models.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's just so...
I cannot hit the yes button hard enough. In fact, the shape preferred by men is strikingly different from the shape of fashion models.
Yeah.
Yeah, fashion models are terrible. It's just not attractive in the slightest.
No.
And again, seem to be entirely made for the female economy. And there's a reason I'm calling it that instead of like the female gaze or something.
Mm.
It's an economy. Yeah. It is a goddamn huge economy. And if you can sell women on insecurities or any other kind of nonsense, you can make a huge amount of bank, apparently.
So, Callum's just discovered Don Draper.
Yeah, which is just why I imagine that some of this hasn't transferred over, and why, you know, if you want to look good, here's how to look good is not something that's actually told to women. Instead, lies are told. But if we go to the next one, there's also just the rears of women as well, which she makes some research in. Pure research, lads. That's why you're watching this video. Let's go to the first image there so we can just read out some of the text. So just the fact in here that she mentions that men prefer thicker buttocks and thighs than runway models.
No way. Who could have imagined?
Yeah.
And round bums.
It's just like, yeah, the guys actually want women who are a little bit thick because it's enjoyable. But also she mentioned something, which I have seen floating around in female circles, that the men do not prefer thigh gaps.
What?
You know what thigh gap is?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Yeah, but it's not the preference.
No, thick thighs save lives, Callum.
Yeah, 100%. And I have seen many women trying to get thigh gaps or making posts about how to obtain a thigh gap, and I'm just like...
Who told you about the thigh gap?
Why? For what purpose?
No man was like, I can't see between your thighs.
No.
You know, there's no light between there.
Not enjoyable. There's also, I think in the next image here, which is just kind of funny, frankly, it's just like, oh yeah, many men like this pose. And it's like, okay.
I wonder why.
Yeah. Don't know why. Anyway, moving on. Let's go to the breast studies.
They're thicker than many women expect. Yeah, they are.
That's the other thing. It's just like women are like, oh, I've got to be really skinny. I was like, no, you don't. Who the hell was... No.
Why would women take other advice from other women on what attractiveness is? I mean, like, they're your competition. It's like, oh, what do I need to do to be attractive? You need to make yourself really unattractive. Yeah, will that get me guys? Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But I mean, there definitely is a huge contingent of women who fall for that.
And, yeah, apparently.
You know, I've run into some of them in my life who are just like, oh, yeah, I'm too fat. It's like, no, you ain't. But there's also breast size, of course, which, again, is...
Look at the graph. Small, medium, large.
But there's some interest here because, of course, huge is not desired,
funnily enough.
Yeah. I mean, there is a peak at which men go, nah, and it's a very sharp fall off.
But you can see the overwhelming preference there.
Yeah, so the research here was done, I think this graph is specifically...
For visual examples, let's see the next gallery. Should we go to the next gallery if we're not... If
you insist.
Yeah.
But there you have it. So this is so that data was taken from a sex doll company, and they were looking at what's the most popular product.
Yeah.
And then this is an example of just male 59%, rating.
59%.
Yeah, right, of also what is the ideal breast size here. Yeah. And there's some strangeness here, though, to be said, because the preference is, of course, large, not huge, which is interesting. But also, the large breast size is actually uncommon. Mm. So the 21%, the one before that,
probably the most common.
Is far more common, but it's strange because if there's an abundance of women with a characteristic, even if men are happy with that characteristic and would be appreciative of that characteristic, mm-hmm. because it's in abundance, men don't value it as much.
Hmm.
Whereas the larger breasts, which are rarer, are therefore also valued more, even though it's not ideal, because there's a scarcity of it.
Yeah, women's bodies are subject to supply and demand.
100% as well. Right, okay. However, once it gets to too big, men just don't care. They're just not interested. So there's that as well. She ends up going on to about the fact of is bigger better? And she's like, yes, ladies.
Most of the time, yeah.
Pretty much all the time, except when you get to higher size. So the research there she found from looking at various sources was that the ideal was around about E to F for the most like popular ooga booga. I want to look at that situation, but below that is fine. Too low is obviously not good. And anything into G is just getting ridiculous and men were not appreciated of. Which, they have that, which is the research done. And also she has some examples of humans as well, mm-hmm. instead of just cartoons and sex dolls and whatnot. Because also the aspect here was, okay, does this pan to real life? And the answer was yes, which is that this was more preferred as she had here. I think this was popular search results for Tor as well, to make sure that you weren't biasing the results with previous searches. So did some work there.
Yep.
Anyway, moving on.
I mean, I can confirm, to be honest.
Yep, same. Let's go to the next one, because we have women versus ideals versus runway models as well, which is really funny. Like, she ended up finding that the ideal woman was the sex doll she's had there, just with the correct proportions of the most liked proportions on a woman, because you could just build it because it's a doll, right?
Yeah, of course.
And then she made the point that actually women end up actually resembling sex dolls more than they do runway models as well.
Okay, yeah.
Not joking.
It's just a strange thing to say.
Yeah.
Women resemble sex dolls, not the other way around.
Because you go to the next image here. I mean, this is a lady who actually resembles that sex doll in proportions. Mm-hmm. And she makes the point, well, actually, her figure is beautiful and elegant and not trashy or cheap. It's actually desirable. There's, of course, the extra work that a sex doll won't bring you, which is the clothing, the lighting, et cetera, the stuff you have to do on a picture to make a woman look beautiful.
Yeah.
Of course, but you do not want to negate the... what women would probably call hotness, because they actually complement each other.
Yeah,
they don't detract from one another.
Yeah.
If you go to the next one here, there's the list of just here's the average woman, 2021 America, 1951 UK, typical sex doll ideals, and then runway models. And the average woman is closer to sex dolls than runway models.
Average woman in 1951 was really close.
Yeah, just very small best.
Really close.
You know, disappointingly small breast,
we
perhaps.
We have to go back.
No, we don't. But anyway, let's go to the next one here, because there's the full article itself. And I would recommend, we just don't have time to go through the whole thing, if you're interested in this, because it is very funny reading and there are some very funny insights. And I'm just going to go through some. I guess, Michael, just scroll as to the images. Not all of them are lewd. Some of them are just, you know, to visual aids.
We're going to have to heavily censor this.
Probably not. I mean, all of these are censored to a degree, but they're not safe for work stuff she did keep out on purpose. Again, she didn't really really want to use lewd stuff. She originally tried to keep them out, but then she realized, actually, if you want to find beauty, that this is important to actually discovering what it is. But anyway, so she asked the question in the intro there, which many women might ask, which is, why should men be the ones who judge what beauty is?
Because we're the ones who are selecting for it.
Like, guess, ho. Yes. why shouldn't my female friends who don't know what beauty is be the judges? Why shouldn't runway models be the judges?
Why should women decide what handsomeness is in men? Well, because you're the one selecting.
Yeah. She also, I don't know if I included it, she gets onto that double standard as well, which is that in media, for men, the images are very well toned. They are very handsome men, and there's a very specific desire that women have that is represented. Shock. Whereas the male desire is not represented in adverts of women in underwear.
We're not buying it.
Just not. But that's the reasoning, you would argue, but at the same time, then you're not actually finding
it. I guess for the, like, you see that, you know, when you buy a pack of boxer shorts, you've got like the male model modeling the boxer shorts. It's not like some fat dude.
No.
Like, you know, with a big belly, you know.
I kind of want to see someone sell it. Like, it would be a huge financial loss, but just for a laugh in the office.
Because
like,
it's meant to be, I suppose, aspirational. You could look like this guy. So, yeah, I can't.
This could be you. It's not going to.
Yeah. Anyway,
she says in here, your professors may have taught you to loathe the male gaze. This crazy attitude will do you more harm than good. In fact, it is far worse than the beauty lie. You can't win by condemning the judges. Instead, you should embrace your potential for beauty and use it to cultivate a fulfilling and romantic sexual relationship. Which all seems like good advice to me. Cultural and regional variations do exist, but are smaller than you might assume. For instance, the ideal woman preferred by Americans and Japanese men are far more similar than real American and Japanese women, which was interesting. She did note that the difference there between...
Condemnation of American women right there.
Well, no, it was one of the problems is actually that American women and Japanese women on average both have the same problem, which is weight. And the Japanese women are just far too small.
Right.
Like, just not fulfilling the actual ideals. So they've got their own problems. Like, just because they're skinny doesn't make them hot, again. Mm. Whereas the American women on average were slightly too large, but did actually have... the thighs are looking Thor. Anyway, they move on to the study of breasts, which there was just some interesting data in here that I found might be enjoyable. The demand for larger breast sizes is much greater than supply. The average male already prefers a size rarely found in nature. And a gap between supply and demand increases with size, without any practical limit, until you hit about G. This means that bigger is better is true. In an economic sense, even if it isn't true in the absolute sense, which is that men are happy with D's. Like, there's no problem with that, but if they're going to look at something, they look bigger. Blah, 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 blah. In simple terms, the most buxom women are highly valued because there aren't enough of them to go around, not because all men prefer them. Which is just... Yeah, there's another insight there, which I think is also true, but just interesting. Common sense, stereotypes, search results, sex dolls, anime girls, and centerfolds all agree. It doesn't matter if men deny it to be polite or to impress you with their refinements. The evidence is that they're attracted to large breasts is overwhelming. In practice, bigger is better. If you're poorly endowed, don't despair. There are many elements of beauty, and breast size is only one of them. Many women worry about their hips needlessly. Waist size and cup size are the main factors that set an attractive figure apart from an average one as well. Which is, I've heard a lot of women worrying about hips, which is... Yeah.
Needlessly worrying about hips.
Like, your pelvis...
Wide hips are good.
Your pelvis
is
made for pregnancy. Like, it's going to be what it is. Anyway.
Unsurprisingly, I'm attracted to fertile-looking women.
Yeah. There's also the aspect in there that she had some women complaining and saying, no, rich men prefer A-cups because they're more refined. And
that's a big fat lie.
Her response to this was, well, okay, if you're married to a rich man, hire a couple of maids, make sure they have double D's or bigger, and you won't worry about it because your man is very refined.
He's not going to be interested at all, ladies. Don't you worry about it.
Yeah. She then gives some examples of sexy lingerie models versus most popular cartoons in lingerie as well. And these sexy lingerie models are just crap. Like, just not interesting in the slightest. And she also notes that the actual lingerie models with the correct proportions would not probably be allowed to pose in the lingerie for these magazines because it would be seen as too lewd. But it's actually what is desirable.
Yeah, what men are after.
Anyway, she also says, note the drawings above don't simply have larger breasts than the models and actresses, but also wider hips, thicker legs, and higher body fat as well.
Yes.
Something that is...
Honestly, being skinny, right? And this must be an evolutionary thing, but it just speaks of malnourishment, right? It speaks of a lack of health and fertility. You want someone who has a bit of body fat because it makes them look like they've been well taken care of.
Doesn't you know, feel like you're going to break them?
Yeah. And, you know, in things, it's like, you know, that you end up with like glowing skin and stuff like this. You know, you like, they don't look ill.
Sure. But I mean, this is also just not to say that there isn't there is a bell curve of preference for basically every subject. So to say that it is impossible to find men who like such things. However, it is just a rule of beauty. And
this is the bit we're going to have to censor.
The data shows that. I mean, this is art, but yeah, it's...
YouTube's not going to care.
Yeah. But anyway, there's also the... So you probably want to scroll past this one. I don't know if it's... there we go. That's fine.
Ah, good. Princess Jasmine.
Yeah, but there's also... She makes the point in here. It's just like, okay, well, here's the Disney princesses and his, you know, desire. And it's the same hip stuff, bust, and blah, 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 blah. Also the hair. Keep me mind. However, the whole higher body fat thing, she does obviously make the point is just like, yeah, not body positivity, though. Don't be stupid. Which is...
Don't be emaciated, but also don't be spherical.
Yeah. She makes some conclusions, and I thought we'd go through this. The voluptuous hourglass figure is preferred by so many men. It's a well-known stereotype, but oddly excluded from magazines and media that address the topic of fashion and beauty for women.
Because it makes women feel insecure. That's why. It makes them feel insecure. They're like, yeah, but my waist is literally twice as wide as the 1950s housewife you're trying to model. So I feel insecure. And so now I feel I have to change. And if there's one thing modern society tells women, it's they're perfect as they are.
Yeah, which isn't useful. And also the idea that the ideal you see on the cover should make you feel insecure and therefore bad. That doesn't make any sense. Like, the ideal is an ideal. You are not going to achieve it by definition. That's the point in the ideal. And therefore, like, if you don't have one of the things, that's not a problem. The point is, can you improve your potential in one aspect or another?
But women have been told that they don't need to.
Yeah, that just doesn't help. Anyway, the narrow and skinny ideal that replaces both is less attainable and also less attractive as well. Yeah. That's also true.
Self-evident.
Like, really hard to attain the weird runway model look, and also a real bad idea to do anyway. So, just there's that. Some women feel compelled to make excuses for the errors of the beauty industry. It's Stockholm Syndrome, she writes. They claim that a boyish figure is what women really want, and their rail-thin models are necessary to put clothes on to display them properly. These defenses are absurd, she writes. Again, I mean, I'm not in the beauty sphere, to say the least, so if you got any complaints... For her, not me, in this regard. But I would probably agree with her in...
Hey, ladies, don't you want a boyish figure?
Okay.
Why would you?
She says, it's a verifiable fact that many and perhaps most of the top fashion designers aren't attracted to women. Yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah, a lot of them are gay, actually, aren't they?
Yeah, she brings that
That's
up.
That's a great point.
And, you know, this is an aspect which I think is also true.
Yeah.
She says, it would be unreasonable to assume that this has no impact on their tastes, and also unreasonable to assume their tastes have no influence on their work.
That's a great point, because if the fashion industry was run by straight men, it would look like a loaded magazine cover.
Yeah, I mean, the men may take it too far in some regards.
They may, yeah.
Like, you want to have what... I mean, that's the thing of her research. Like, you don't actually end up with, like, the... ridiculous proportions of like something you may find in the gutter, but instead actual female beauty in regards to real women with those proportions, and therefore that's why I'm taking this one because I value it as well. This is the difference between Japanese and American women there that she brings up. But she then lists like a 4chan post, a bunch of Wikipedia entries of early life for all the beauty designers, and there's also something to be said for that, though, which is not that the gay beauty designers don't know what a beautiful woman looks like, but they don't know what a hot woman looks like, and they're not combining the two. I mean, again, you can be elegant and beautiful, but if you don't have any sexual appeal, then no one's going to look at you.
Yeah.
And it's not that the sexual appeal detracts from the beauty, it complements it. And this is something she has to apparently keep hitting the drum on.
I tell you, I definitely want the Minoan snake goddess waifu.
Yeah. I don't know what she's doing.
She's killing snakes.
Yeah, but where's her breast out, like?
Why wouldn't her breast be out?
All right, fine. Anyway, she goes on to talk about the feminists.
To demonstrate her fertility, obviously.
Yeah, she talks about the feminist double standards. She gives some Calvin Klein models, male Calvin Klein models versus female Calvin Klein models. And problem there. Supply and demand, we've already gone over. There's some funny stuff on faces, which is that men can unanimously agree basically what's a good face and what's a bad face.
Mm-hmm.
However, when it comes to men picking a 10 out of 10 face, it's oddly specific. So men prefer the face they prefer, and many other men would be like, I mean, it's good, but it's not great.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't...
down to individual preference.
You either have a good face or a bad face. As to whether or not the man is mad about your face is just up to the man. It's random chance by the looks of it. Beauty versus hotness. I was speaking about that in depth. Although she does write, there are serious disadvantages to having the type of beauty that lacks sex appeal. You'll be put on a pedestal like an antique or an art object, praised and even sought after, but not truly desired. Mm. Which is a very burn way of putting that. She then makes some more conclusions. A beauty ideal actually needs to be unattainable, as we've spoken about. If it were attainable, it wouldn't be useful for discriminating between the best potential mates, since all of them would have attained it. That is why the gap between the ideal and the real is fundamental to our sense of sexual aesthetics, and not something that can be argued away. At times, this manifests itself as a taste for unreachable extremes, the simplest of which we've examined above. And so not only is there no shame in falling short of the ideal, it is actually expected that everyone will fall short in one way or another. This isn't your fault, nor is it men's.
Well, just think of the reverse. I mean, you know what a masculine ideal is, and you know you're not going to attain it, but you know you should be going in that direction.
Yeah. And the female economy is something that's been perverted into not doing that. Hmm. Whereas the male economy...
it's the same. It's been perverted into not doing that.
Because there's just no money. But it's just like this, when it comes to the Calvin Klein male models, like there's no reason to lie to men give them the fat guy in the underwear.
Yeah, but just think about in your daily life, like actually being a man has been undermined.
Sure.
And systematically.
But in some areas, not in this area, I don't think. Again, with the pose.
Yeah, men don't draw women with a thigh gap. That's all you need to know, ladies.
Seems to be. She continues, the right way to use this information that you've learnt? By understanding the truth about feminine beauty. You can target your efforts to improve your appearance more accurately and stop wasting energy running in the wrong direction. The truth won't ensure you reach the ideal, but it will help you get the most out of your innate potential. Which is just a great message. It's just like, yeah, you're not meant to get the ideal. That would be a waste of time. You're meant to try and look for what you can achieve. There's going to be a lot of censoring in this one. Hey, YouTube. Mm. She also has some beauty tips, which, again, we're not going to go into, but one line was gold. Today, men are increasingly falling victim to e-girls who hook them up with a combination of personal charm, virtual strip teasers, and powerful new AI effects. While real women have been wasting their time reading Vogue and copying Hollywood celebrities, these online strippers have weaponized the truth about female beauty.
That's so true.
Which is just like, oh, God, I never even thought of it that way.
E-thoughts like, BTFO'd.
Yeah, like the e-thoughts are actually just weaponizing this knowledge.
But, oh, yeah.
And the beauty industry is abandoning this knowledge. And it's like, well, okay, well, who's winning? Well, the ethos.
Well, at least financially. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And then we'll just end this off with again, this is for women. This is not for us. I don't really going to down it too much. She just lists a bunch of tips about things to do. Number one, exercise and diet, of course. She goes into the details I don't care about. Number two, get clothes that show curves. This is 100% true. I even saw it walking home yesterday. There was some woman with some baggy ass clothes and then some woman who was in my block with like, she was like, you know, mid 30s or something. So she's there, but she's wearing clothes that actually showed off her curves. And I was like, yeah, that's good advice. Nice, 100%. Three, cosmetics and cosmetic surgery she goes into. She says that basically if it's really well done, most men are incredibly ignorant and women can get away with lying.
Yeah.
Which again is not exactly moral, but this is not her game. She's there to tell you just what's the facts of that situation.
Yeah.
Again, not recommending cosmetic surgery or not. It's not my industry. I don't care. She also says that breast reduction is basically pointless unless you're in health problems with it. Then useful. Number four, hair. Hair should basically be to the chest or below the boobs. That seems to be the ideal.
Yep.
From the research, blonde, brown, and black are the most popular hair colors. Funnily enough, pink and blue, like weird ass colors like that, the least popular.
Oh, really? Yeah. Who could have imagined?
Which is funny because you get the e-girls doing like the little like pink wigs that they wear or whatever.
Yeah.
But when it comes to actual male preferences for, you know, stuff, it's far less than they even think. Mm. Number five, motion and posture. So we definitely can't show that because basically a lot of women bouncing around. But it's a good point. It's basically how you walk and et cetera to show off that stuff, which it certainly works. And then number six, personality, which again, just does not matter for beauty. She writes, like, could not matter any smaller amount. However, when it comes to a relationship, that's incredibly important.
Yeah.
But then she has some more, but I've gone on long enough. You get the point. And if there are any women who are confused, well, there you have it. Go and give it a read, I suppose. If there's a lot of things people think we got wrong, put them in the comments. I'm probably sure we have got a few. Usually when we do something like this,
I don't know.
There's people who disagree.
I mean, there's going to be some people who disagree, but the core thesis that men like big chests, narrow hips, narrow waists, wide hips. I mean, come on, that's indisputable.
Yeah, the ether industry, the sex doll industry, yeah. and the internet industry, frankly.
Male preferences reveal it.
Have done far more work to find out what's true than any of the runway models in Vogue, that's for sure. If you appreciated that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotusheaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as this premium book club, Lawrence Wright's The Looming Tower, The Road to 9/11. If you want to follow what else we're putting out, like me, you can follow me on Getter at Callum on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.